Napoleonic era. Napoleon in exile, 1815 to 1821. Napoleon's Companions, Part 4. This is Baron Le Monde and Baron Las Casas. Now, Baron Charles François Antoine Le Monde was a 42-year-old general who had served with Napoleon since the Egyptian campaign, and for several years had been one of his aides-de-camp. Like General Savary, he was certain to be on any Bourbon list of traitors. Le Monde and his troops had broken their allegiance to Louis XVIII and had joined Napoleon on his return from Elba. In addition, Le Monde had been one of the organizers of an unsuccessful plan to seize the roads between Paris and the Belgian border in an attempt to try and keep Louis XVIII from fleeing France. Baron Le Monde had fought at Waterloo, acquitting himself well during the fighting, but following the Waterloo defeat and Napoleon's abdication, he knew if he remained in France, the scaffold awaited him. Then we come to Baron Las Casas. Emmanuel Auguste Didon Maures Joseph, Count de Las Casas, age 49. He is the oldest member of Napoleon's suite. He was born into a prominent family in Languedoc. Las Casas had, it's very cosmopolitan, as you'll see. He traveled widely. He experienced poverty as well as affluence. He met people from all ranks of society, and he had a tremendous breadth of experience unmatched by any of Napoleon's companions. His career started in the French Navy. But after the massacre of royalists at Quiberon on June 27, 1795, the Royal Navy, to support Bourbon supporters in the Vendée, landed 3,500 emigre troops. These are Frenchmen who fled to France, brought them back. It's kind of like a Bay of Pigs thing in the United States, on the Quiberon Peninsula in South Brittany. This renewed uprising was violently suppressed by General Hoche in a series of engagements. French Revolutionary forces took 6,000 prisoners of war, and less than 1,700 emigre troops survived to re-embark for England. Las Casas, at this point, now fled to London, where he lived for a few years. There he wrote a very successful historical atlas. He returned to France after the Treaty of Amiens, one of the few peaceful times between Britain and France at this juncture, and joined Napoleon's cause. Came to Napoleon's attention as a volunteer during the defense of Holland against the British in 1809. High offices were awarded to him, ending in Las Casas being made a count in 1814. Under the Restoration, Las Casas became a counselor of the state and later captain in the Navy. At least that's his claim. He joined Napoleon's household after return from Elba, acting as chamberlain at the Elysee Palace, along with Count de Montholon. And that, of course, is when Napoleon returned from Waterloo. From that time, the closeness between he and Napoleon grew as Las Casas actually left his wife and family to go into exile. His 15-year-old son, Emmanuel, also went into exile with Napoleon. Las Casas, as Napoleon remarked, quote, is the only one of the French who can speak English well or explain it to my satisfaction. I cannot now read an English newspaper. Madame Bertrand understands English perfectly, but one cannot trouble a lady. Las Casas was very necessary to me. End of quote. At Rochefort, Las Casas' stories about England and its people reinforced those of Madame Bertrand. They, along with Las Casas' reports of the conversations with Captain Maitland on the HMS Bellerophon, were even more influential in Napoleon's decision to ultimately go to England. Las Casas was expelled by the British from St. Helena in 1816, and for a time was held captive on the Cape of Good Hope, which is Cape Town. Later, he was allowed to move to Frankfurt and then Belgium. And then after Napoleon's death in 1821, Las Casas was allowed back in France. In 1823, he published Memoirs de Sainte-Hélène. After 1830, He was a deputy under the July monarchy of King Louis-Philippe and died in 1842. Las Casas's memorial is one of the most readily accessible of the histories or biographies or the memoirs of the people who stayed on the island of St. Helena. And it is quite good for the time that he is there, and then he gathered information from other sources. It's a shame that he couldn't stay there longer. But yeah, it's a superb work. It's gigantic. It's two volumes. It's quite large. So that's these two individuals. It's a little short, a little shorter than I've been doing. I wanted to make sure these two were separated individually. So we'll continue on. We have one more set of people to finish the entourage that's going to be going to St. Helena with Napoleon. And then we'll see the debate. The next thing we'll be doing is what happens when Napoleon gets to England. Now, the sources for this are 50 Days, Napoleon in England by Duhamel, Napoleon After Waterloo by Thornton, and Napoleon St. Helena by Gilbert Martineau. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us, which can be done monthly or however you would like it. So thank you very much.